Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Special show tonight. Same thing, same process about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. But I called Cartier earlier because I wanted him to add an additional portion of the show, which Sister Hootie had asked me. several weeks ago, in accordance to the Messiah, Christ, and so on and so forth. So please, fellow hosts, limit your commentaries to a short, because we won't cart you to get through, because we have praise and thanksgiving to the Most High also. So if you're new to the show, I think you've garnered something from the introduction that we studied the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis, an assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned, crossing every T and dotting every I to get to the core of the matter. Raw and uncut, because that's what we need right about this time, considering what is happening, and the evidence doesn't lie in that regard. Also, I'm going to do a brief introduction of the people that are on this show daily, so to speak, Monday through Friday. Sometimes they take a sabbatical, as in the case of Sister Avia of New York City, who's been Sister So from his very conception since 2013. I'm not going to go into detail about her synopsis of her in my introductions, because I'm trying to save time for Cartrell to get to Christ, the Messiah, and so on and so forth, so you can have a clear understanding what the Messiah is, what Christ is, and so on and so forth. We want you to get a true version, not a poppycock, not a version of the Nicene Council, the Roman Catholics, and their derivatives, these religions, and so on and so forth. So it's Sister Abby out from New York City. She's been with the show from 2013. Praise the Most High and bless her holy name. And let me bring her on and introduce you. Sister Abia, may the Most High be with you. Your mic is out. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. And as always, it's good to be back, and may Yah continue to bless us.
It's good to have you back, sister. May he bless you also. Thank you. Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. And yes, I'm a nation builder. Shalom. We'll make it real quick. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you. Love you too. Hallelujah. Now, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. How y'all doing tonight, fam?
You doing okay, fam.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Always good to hear your voice. No doubt.
It's good to hear yours too, brother.
Thank you.
It's good to hear yours too. Well, Katriel, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, let's get into our study. Ezekiel chapter 15, and he's making reference to us as far as this vine is concerned. Then the word of Yah came to me, and who is the me? Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, how is the wood, the vine, better than any other wood, vine branch which is among the trees of the forest? Question. Is wood taken from it to make an object? Question. Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on it? Question. Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Question mark. Indeed, when it is whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burned? Question mark. Therefore, thus said Elohim Yah, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They're not going to be good for nothing. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Our fathers, our mothers, from one fire, one captivity, one famine, one pestilence, one sword to another, till we're devoured. Because we had become good for nothing, says the Most High. We don't stand for anything, and we fall for everything. Then you should know that I am the Elohim when I set my face against him. Thus I will make the land desolate, our land, because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says Yah Elohim. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katriel, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, you have the mic.
That was short and kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Most High is furious with our people, with our ancestors, because they were unfaithful to him. We read about the idols that they had in their heart. And he said, you're like a vine that's useless. You're not producing fruit. Can't use it, you know, in construction. Carpenter can't use y'all. You're not even really good for fire. But the Most High said he's going to set our people on fire. And the land, too. So Ezekiel's prophesied what's going to happen to our ancient fathers, but they didn't really believe them until it happened.
Praise Yah, Katra. And that's the way we are. We don't really believe nothing until it happens. Even though we're warned time after time, we're encouraged, we're motivated to do the right thing, and the door is always left open for us to get it correct. We want to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect different results. That's not only in our relationship with the Most High, which should be pivotal in our relationship with any other relationship. As I said, Katriel, if we don't get this relationship with Yah right, we won't get a relationship with anything or anyone right. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
Yeah, man. So right about that. That's why we're going through these studies like we do. To like get everything we can while we can. So sisters, the Yamsuf, they tell you I don't speak or comment at all. He said make it
no,
brief.
No, I'm just listening.
Hello.
I'm getting the word.
I want to hear your commentary about I'm a seer and Christ and anointed, so I'm quiet today. So you ain't getting nothing out of us today.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm too smooth, so we shutting up.
So we never want the Most High to set his face against us. Matter of fact, we want him to turn his face towards us again, like he did in ancient times, and see what we're going through and hear us when we cry out to him. King David never wanted Yah to turn his face against him, but the nation, not so much. Most of us, I'm going to set my face against Yah, and they will go out from fire, but the fire will devour them. And you will know that I'm Yah, and Yah just set our people on fire. And he set his face against us. We don't want Yah to set his face against us. We want his favor and his loving kindness. No doubt.
Praise God.
So if you're ready, yes. Praise Yah. If you're ready, I'm ready.
We're ready, brother.
Yeah.
We really want to hear that studies in the Mashiach, Christ, though, and everything else. And the students need to hit us in radio land.
So my question is, what do those terms mean? Christ, Jesus Christ. All them years you was in church, Sister Abia, what did they tell you Jesus Christ meant?
My Savior.
A Savior.
Yeah, he's supposed to be my Savior.
That's the concept that people have when people hear that term, Christ, Messiah, or Mashiach. Mashiach is the Hebrew word for the English word Messiah, and Christ is the Greek word. So this booklet is called True Meaning and Definition of the Terms Christ, Messiah, and Mashiach. So it starts out with the definition. Mashiach, which is Hebrew. From Hebrew 4:8-6, it means anointed, usually a consecrated person as a king, priest, or saint. Specifically, the Messiah, anointed Messiah. So when they say specifically the Messiah, they try to make a reference to Jesus, but he was never anointed.
Right.
So
All right, notice how the sentence makes reference to the Messiah as if there's only one. The Hebrew meaning of the word is anointed. English, Messiah, right, is classical, Syriac, Messiha, Latin, Messias, literally means anointed one. Anointing is the ritual act of pouring Aramaic oil over a person's head or entire body. Then we get to the word Christ, which is Greek, and it means the same thing. Christ equals anointed. Then they say Christ was and is the Messiah, the Son of God, anointed. See, this is where they go left. Christ was and is the Messiah, the Son of God. They added so much on to the anointing that they made a religion out of this, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Notice how the Greek meaning of the term Christ simply means anointed. And somehow they've managed to fix this term to a singular person in the hearts and minds of many, the Messiah, HaMashiach, and Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, was and is. Mm-hmm. This is where people become confused and misled. This brief booklet will examine what it really means to be Mashiach, Messiah, or Christ. All three words are the same, three different languages, Hebrew, English, and Greek. And all of them mean one thing and one thing only, anointed. So now it's time to explore the history of the anointing process. Where did this term originate? Who was the first anointed? Was Jesus ever anointed, priest or king of the nation of Israel? And if he was not anointed, how and why do people of the world refer to him as the Christ, HaMashiach, and the Messiah? So we go into the origins of the anointing. Aaron and his sons. The book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 1. The Most High speaking to Moses when he says, bring Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him near to you from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make them holy garments for Aaron and Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all who are wise-hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify me, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod, a robe, a fitted tunic, a turban, and a sash. They shall make them holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. They shall use the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen. So I give a picture of what the garments look like, two pictures of what the high priest looked like. Exodus chapter 29, verse 1. This is the thing that you shall do to them to make them holy, to minister to me in the priest's office. Take one young bull and two rams without defect, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them a fine flour. You shall put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting, which is the tabernacle, and shall wash them with water. You shall take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic, the robe, the ephod, and the breastplate, and clothe him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. You shall take the turban. You shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head. To anoint him, you shall bring his sons and put tunic on them. You shall clothe them with belts, Aaron and his sons, and bind headbands on them. They shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. You shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. So we see that the origin of the anointing starts with Moses' brother, Aaron, and his nephews, Aaron's sons. And they were made priests. Not only were they made priests, but they had to wear certain garments that had to be made holy. Okay? So it goes into how this anointing oil is made. Exodus
may
1,
I,
verse 22.
Atria, may I ask you one question?
Sir.
What tribe were they from?
the house of Aaron. Aaron and Moses were from the tribe of Levi. Specifically, they were Kohathites. And that's important because
that
Kohath, Kohathites. There's three families in the tribe of Levi. Kohath, Merari, and Gershon. And Moses and Aaron came from Kohath.
Thank you, God.
Why is that important? Because Moses' sons, who are related to Aaron and his sons, were not anointed, nor did they become priests. But they were Kohathites. So I hope you understand that. Only Aaron and his sons became priests, not Moses or his sons. So Exodus 30, verse 22. Are you with me?
Yep.
Moreover, Yah spoke to Moses, saying, also take fine spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, even 250, and fragrant cane, 250, and of acacia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. You shall make it into a holy anointing oil, a perfume compounded after the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. You shall use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant, the table and all its articles, the lamp stands and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and all its utensils, and the basins with its base. You shall sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. You shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be put on a man's flesh, and do not make any like it. According to its composition, it is holy. It shall be holy unto you. Whoever compounds anything like it, whoever puts it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people. So everybody can put this oil on. The Most High instructed the nation of Israel not to make it. And if you were found making it and you had it on, you would be cut off from the nation. Only the high priest and the priest's sons, the sons of Aaron, were anointed until King Saul was anointed king of Israel hundreds of years later. So the only priest...
So, Contrail, it wasn't olive oil or chicken grease oil, okay? It was a special...
No, it was olive oil.
Right.
Olive oil was part of the components in it.
But not entirely olive oil.
Not just olive oil. You had myrrh, cinnamon, you had cane, acacia. They say acacia is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Olive oil. And it should be an anointing oil.
Okay. And to a specific degree and compound, just not any old messy old tacky old way. It was specified, codified, and compound, right? Compound.
Right.
Okay.
And the thing is, the formula, we just read it. And there's people out here trying to make it when clearly the instruction says, whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on a layman shall be cut off from his people. So don't be out there buying that holy oil, which is strictly meant for the priests, at least up until this point, right?
So they try to justify Jesus was anointed by the woman opening up an alabaster thing and putting frankincense on it. So that was not anointing oil, was it not?
Not at all.
Well,
and
on
put
his,
it on his feet.
And on his feet. Okay, all right. Thank you, Katria.
Right. So we read where it started. It started with Moses' brother Aaron, right, who also went into Egypt with Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, according to the word of Yah. And Aaron and Moses together worked out what the Most High told them to do in far as liberating our people from Pharaoh. A lot of people don't realize that Aaron was the one who was using his rod first, at least for the first five plagues. If I'm not mistaken. So Aaron, based on his work as a servant to Yah, he was chosen to be priest of the nation from generation to generation. The layman can't be a priest. You can't go to school. You can't go to theology school to become a priest. No, it don't work like that. You have to be born out of the house of Aaron.
And the historical house of the Korah, right? The historical house where Aaron and his son derived from. And from the lineage of Aaron's sons. Not just simply from the tribe of the historical house and the tribe of Levi, but from the historical family within that tribe, which were three families. And even that, and it would, even if you were from that family, only those that derived from the lineage of Aaron could be high priest. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Because his brother, like I said, Moses was a Kohathite too. But Moses' sons did not become and could not become priests.
Thank you, Godfrey. Thank you.
So now we turn to who else is anointed outside the priests, which is Aaron's sons, Aaron's family, Aaron's descendants.
From my understanding, Katria, if I may answer that question for you, our king.
Yes, sir. Which one?
King Saul and King Dawood and continue along that lineage. Not
yes, sir.
The lineage of King Dawood, because the first king was a Benjamin, which was King Saul, and our second and greatest king was King Dawood from the tribe of Yehuda, and the continuum.
Go start. Sound like you've been studying your history, man.
Yeah, we do a good job at this show teaching, Katria, and we iron on this show.
No doubt. So, from Aaron and his sons to the first king of Israel. Well, King Saul wasn't really the first king of Israel. There was a brother named Abimelech. He killed 71 of his brothers to become king of Israel. But that wasn't really official. This
right.
is official, where the first man outside of the tribe of Kohath, the family of Aaron, was anointed with this holy oil. So the kings were holy kings. The first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10. It says, then the prophet Samuel took the veil of oil, the anointing oil, and poured it on his head. That's what you're supposed to do with the anointing oil, right?
Exactly. Not on their feet, on their head. Okay, thank you.
And the prophet Samuel is pouring it on King Saul's head, in case you were wondering. Then kissed him and said, hasn't Yah anointed you to be prince over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, then you will find two men by Rachel's tomb on the border of Benjamin at Zilzah. They will tell you the donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and behold, your father has stopped caring about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? So this is the portion where King Saul was anointed by the prophet Samuel with the holy anointing oil, right? He said, Yahweh has appointed you to be prince over his inheritance, the first king of Israel. Unfortunately, the first king of Israel, he wasn't obedient, faithful to the prophet or to the Most High, Yah, most of all. And it continues in the second book, 1 Samuel 16. First verse. Then Yah said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, King Saul, since I have rejected him for being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, you got the anointing oil again, and go. I will send you to Jesse the best of might, for I have provided a king for myself among his sons. So you either got to be a priest or a king to get this anointing oil. Then the prophet Samuel said, how can I go? If King Saul hears it, he'll kill me. Then Yah said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to Yah. Call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint to me him whom I name to you. So this anointing has to come from the word of Yah. You don't just go around anointing yourself. Yah elects and selects these men, right? He selected Aaron and his sons and nobody else. And now he's selecting the first king to be prince over his inheritance. And then he selects another one because King Saul messed up. So he tells him to go to Jesse's house.
And Cottrell, may I add along with you, this anointing is just not simply for showcasing. This gives the king a connection with the Most High. That's why King Dawood could write those Psalms, because it was a spiritual connection with the, especially if you're doing what the Most High has commanded you to do, as King Dawood. In the case of King Saul, it was quite different because he was ego run amok, and he didn't make that connection with the Most High. So he didn't have that spiritual connection, just like the high priest did. Our kings have that connection, or should have that connection with the Most High. Am I correct, Cartrell?
Absolutely, which is why King Saul has so many problems, because he was fighting, right? You being
exactly.
anointed, you're supposed to be right in the flow. But unfortunately, he was fighting himself and the people around him trying to advise him. And he did not obey Yah like he should have.
Exactly.
So we're in 1 Samuel 16.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. Yah said to Samuel, oh, I read that, right?
Yes.
Take a heifer and say, I have come to sacrifice to Yah. Call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint to me him whom I named to you. Prophet Samuel did that which Yah spoke and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to Yah. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. So it's always, you know, meeting up with the elders first, right? That's a code,
yes.
The code of our nation.
Codification.
Right. Always go to the elders. He says, he sanctified Jesse and his son and called them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, surely Yah's anointed is before him. But Yah said to the prophet Samuel, don't look on his face or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For I don't see as man sees, for man looks at outward appearance, but Yah looks at the heart. What does Yah look at?
The heart.
For his selection on who's going to be the next anointed. That's what we're talking about here. Because our king wasn't elected by the people, nominated by the people, voted on by the people. No, our kings were chosen by Yah, just like our priests. We had no say in the matter. In the 8th verse, it says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before the prophet Samuel. And he said, Yah has not chosen this one either. Then Jesse named Shammah to pass by. He said, Yah has not chosen this one either. Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before the prophet Samuel. The prophet Samuel said to Jesse, Yah has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your children here? And he said, there remains the youngest. Behold, he's keeping the sheep. And the prophet Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with a handsome face and good appearance. Yah said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the middle of his brothers. Then Yah's spirit came mightily on King David from that day forward. You can see the difference, right? The difference with King Saul and King David. When he got anointed, the spirit of Yah came mightily upon him from that day forward. So the prophet Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now Yah's spirit departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit from Yah troubled him. King Saul's servant said to him, see now, an evil spirit from Yah troubles you. Let our Lord now command your servants, go in front of you to seek out a man who is skillful player of the harp. Then when the evil spirit of Yah is on you, he will play with his hands, and you will be well. So two kings anointed at the same time. King Saul, the first man anointed outside the priesthood. Yah was not pleased that the king Saul failed to follow his instructions. So the Most High elected and chose another man to be king. The Most High did not hesitate to anoint King David. So we had two anointed kings at the same time, in addition to the priesthood, which we know are automatically anointed. So we're going to go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 24, and realize the importance of this anointing, right?
Okay.
1 Samuel, chapter 24. Verse 1 says, when King Saul had returned from following the Philistines, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then King Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens by the way, where there was a cave, and King Saul went in to relieve himself. Now King David and his men were staying in the innermost parts of the cave. King David's men said to him, behold, the day of which Yah said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then King David arose and cut off the skirt of King Saul's robe secretly. Afterward, King David's heart struck him because he had cut off King Saul's skirt. He said to his men, Yah forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, Yah's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is Yah's anointed. So King David checked his men with these words and did not allow them to rise against King Saul. King Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. He didn't even know what happened. But they wouldn't kill him. Why didn't they kill him when they could have?
Because the Most High had anointed him. And only the Most High has the authority and wherewithal to take him out of his spot. And King David knew that because of his connection with Yah. He said, I'm not going to put my hand on that brother. You anointed him. And if you want to get rid of him, that's on you. But I that's an honored position when you anointed. I can't put my hand on that man.
Did they put their hands on Jesus? Oh,
they put their mouths on him too.
So, where did I leave off? I'm sorry.
We're in
2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 26 now. King David spares himself life again. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 1. The Ziphites came to King Saul like Gibeah, saying, doesn't King David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before the desert? Then King Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek King David in the wilderness of Ziph. King Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is before the desert by the way. But King David stayed in the wilderness and saw that King Saul came after him into the wilderness. King David therefore sent out spies and understood that King Saul has certainly come. Then King David arose and came to the place where King Saul encamped, and King David saw the place where King Saul lay with Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his army. King Saul lay within the place of the wagons, and the people were encamped round about him. Then King David answered and said to Ahimelech, the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to King Saul's camp? Abishai said, I'll go down with you. So King David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, King Saul lay sleeping in the place of the wagons with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people lay around him. Then Abishai said to King David, Yah has delivered up your enemy into your hand today. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the earth with one stroke, and I will not strike him a second time. Then King David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against Yah's anointed and be guiltless? King David said, as Yah lives, Yah will strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go down into battle and perish. Yah forbid that I should stretch out my hand against Yah's anointed. But now, please, take the spear that is at his head and the jar of water, and let's go. So King David took the spear and the jar of water from King Saul's head, and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, but they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from Yah had fallen on them. So Yah was testing King David. Are you going to kill this man? Got the opportunity, but you know better, don't you? Are you supposed to strike Yah's anointed, kill him?
No.
As bad as King Saul was, then not put your hand on him.
Oh, it's true.
So We're going to jump to 2 Samuel, the first chapter, the death of the first king of Israel, King Saul. Second Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of King Saul, when King David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and King David stayed 2 days in Ziklag, on the third day, behold, a man out of the camp from King Saul with his clothes torn and earth on his head. When he came to King David, he fell on the earth and showed respect. King David said to him, "Who do you come from?" And he said, "I have escaped out of the camp of Israel." King David said to him, "How did it go?" He said, "The people have fled from the battle, and many of the people also have fallen, are dead. King Saul and Prince Jonathan, his son, are dead also." King David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know King Saul and Prince Jonathan, his son, are dead?" Then the young man who told him said, "As it happened by chance on Mount Gilboa, behold, King Saul was leaning on his spear, and behold, the chariots and the horsemen followed close behind him. When he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. I answered, 'Here am I.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' And he said to me, 'Please stand beside me and kill me, for anguish has taken hold of me because my life lingers in me.' So I stood beside him and killed him because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them here to my Lord." Then King David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men who were with him did likewise. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for King Saul and for Prince Jonathan, his son, and for the people of Yah, and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. King David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite." King David said to him, "Why were you not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy Yah's anointed?" King David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and cut him down." He struck him, so he died. King David said to him, "Your blood be on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have slain Yah's anointed.'" Wow.
Nothing to be taken lightly, Katra. Nothing to be taken lightly.
So we're looking at the root of what this word anointed Christ Mashiach means. And people got it twisted. They totally disrespect King Saul. Well, we don't like King Saul. They don't even call him King Saul. They just say Saul. No, King Saul, the anointed of Yah. And his spirit wasn't right. So King David is anointed again, King of Yehuda. Second book of 2 Samuel, chapter 2. Second Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "After this, King David inquired of Yah," which is always a good thing, "say, 'Shall I go up into the cities of Yehuda?' Yah said to him, 'Go up.' King David said, 'Where shall I go up?' Yah said to him, 'Hebron.' So King David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. King David brought up his men who were with him, every man with his household. They lived in the city of Hebron. The men of Yehuda came, and there they anointed King David king over the house of Yehuda. They told King David, 'The men of Jabesh Gilead were those who buried King Saul.' King David sent messages to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, 'Blessed are you by Yah, that you have shown this kindness to your Lord, even to King Saul, and have buried him. Now may Yah show loving kindness and truth to you. I also regard for you this loving kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strong and be valiant, for King Saul, your Lord, is dead, and also the house of Yehuda have anointed me king over them.'" Praise God. So this is the second time he's anointed, and it's only by the house or the tribe of Yehuda. Then we're going to see that he's anointed a third time over the whole nation of Israel. And that is in the book of Chronicles, the 11th chapter. First Chronicles, chapter 11. First Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves together to King David to Hebron, saying, Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. In times past, even King Saul was king. It was you who led us out and brought us in Israel. Yah, Yael, said to you, You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over my people Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them in Hebron before Yah. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to Yah's word by the prophet Samuel." So we see that the third time King David is anointed. Three times he's anointed. And that's very unusual. So after King David is anointed, then we come to King Solomon and his anointing. That will be found in the book of Kings, first chapter, 1 Kings, first chapter, 38 verse. First Kings, first chapter, 38 verse says, "So Zadok the priest and Natan the prophet." Was Zadok anointed?
Yes.
Okay. Get a gold star. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Chariotites and the Pinnathites went down and had King Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent. Ain't that where it belonged?
Exactly.
And anointed King Solomon. They blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people came up after him, and the people piped and with pipes and rejoiced with a great joy, so that the earth shook. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
See, King Solomon was anointed by somebody who was anointed, Zadok, the priest.
Exactly. The high priest.
Yes. You had a question, Sister Yehudi?
No. Not right now.
Praise Yah. So we're going to jump to prophecy, the book of Zechariah. Fourth chapter. And this book speaks about two anointings. Who are the two anointings? The priest and the king, right?
Exactly.
Those are the two officers that are anointed in the nation of Israel, which makes us a messianic nation, but everybody is not anointed with this oil. Just the primary officers of our nation are anointed, the king and the priest. And the priest came before the king. So we in the book of Zechariah, fourth chapter, starting at the first verse. So the angel who talked with me came again and waked me as a man who's waking out of his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" I see, I have seen, and behold, a lamp stand of all gold, a lampstand of all gold with its bowls on the top of it and its seven lamps on it. There are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are on top of it. Two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it. I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered me, "Don't you know what these are?" I said, "No, my lord." Then he answered me and spoke to me, saying, "This is Yah's word to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yah of hosts. Who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you are a plain, and he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, Yah's word came to me saying, the hands of the Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And we know Zerubbabel is a priest. He's one of Yah's anointed. And you will know that I am Yah, that Yah of hosts has sent me to you. Indeed, who despises the day of small things? But these seven shall be rejoiced and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are Yah's eyes which run back and forth throughout the whole earth. Then I asked him, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it? I asked him the second time, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden spouts that pour the golden oil out of themselves? He answered me, don't you know what these are? I said, no, my lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by Yah of the whole earth.
The high priest and our king. Our high priest and our king. Those two only. No other. No other. And if you weren't anointed by the high priest, you're not anointed. Okay? So they either stop lying and putting words in Yah's mouth, and Yah said what he said, and he meant what he said when he said what he said. And he said it right here.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 psalms that make references to the anointed. I'm not going to read them all, but I'll tell you what they are.
Get your pens
Psalms
out.
Psalms 2.
Get your pens out.
Say that again, right. Psalms 1.
Psalms 2. The reign of Yah's anointed. People try to say it's Christ, but he was Jesus Christ, but he was never anointed. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that one because it's short. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth take a stand. The rulers take counsel together against Yah and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens will laugh. Yah will have them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his wrath. Yet I have set my king, which is the anointed, right, on my holy hill of Zion. I will tell the decree. Yah said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. And it goes on. But this hasn't happened yet. But it will happen for Yah's anointing. The next psalm will be Psalms 18. A psalm by King David, the servant of Yah, who spoke to Yah the words of the song in the day that Yah delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of the king of King Saul. Yah has sustained his anointing. So I'll read from 45 to 50. Foreigners shall fade away and shall come trembling out of the strongholds. Yah lives. Blessed be my rock. Exalted be Yah of my salvation. Even Elohim, who executes vengeance for me. He subdues people under me. He rescues me from my enemies. Yes, you lift me up above those who rise up against me. You deliver me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, Yah, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to King David, and to his offsprings forevermore. Did y'all catch that?
King David.
Oh yeah, his anointing. The Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach that people be talking about. But they don't know who it is. So the next one would be Psalms 20, verse 2 to 6. Sixth verse says, now I know that Yah saves his anointed. The anointed ain't saving nobody. The anointed must be saved by Yah. Verse 6 says, now I know that Yah saves his anointed and will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Yah's anointed must be saved. Psalms 28 from verse 1 to 7, no, 1 to 9. And you have Psalm 89, all these verses, all these psalms, all these songs speak of Yah's anointing. Psalm 89.
Wait a minute, you said 89?
Yes, Psalms 89 from verse 19 through 37. No, through 42. I'm sorry. 19 through 42. And you got Psalms 105. 1 to 15. Psalms 132. 1 to 18. And that would be the completion of the psalm in reference to Yah's anointing. The last portion I wrote about is the prophet Malachi, chapter 3. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, the Most High is going to reestablish the priesthood. He says, verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And Yah, whom you seek, Israel, will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he comes, says Yah of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer to Yah offerings in righteousness. Then the offerings of Yehuda and Jerusalem shall be pleasant to Yah as in days of old, as in ancient years. So again, the priests are the ones that the Most High purified and anointed with this holy oil. It's only the king's office in the nation of Israel and the priest's office. And when you read those psalms, you see the Most High very specific about who his anointed is. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm hoping that I can print these out so people can read them, have them in their hand, and actually study it. So it concludes with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. Never was a man spoken of in the New Testament ever anointed. Discussed in this booklet, as discussed in this booklet, he was never anointed king or priest in the nation of Israel. The burden of truth now rests with those who have the belief that the Messiah, HaMashiach, or Christ somehow meant someone who will rescue, save, redeem, and deliver them from judgment, tribulation, and sin. Many have placed their hopes on a deliverer, but only the Creator can do the things people believe the Messiah can do for them. Praise
Yah.
I want y'all to know, fellow students, throughout Radio Land, this is the first time Cottrell has approached this subject matter, but I assure you, while I'm living, there's breath in me. It won't be the last time, because you need to know this. You need to know historically, not emotionally, what your oppressors have provided for you, a convenient God that came from the Romans by virtue of the Nicene Council, the Roman Catholic Church, and the derivative religions that derived from the Roman Catholic Church, starting with the first one, the Lutherans. Martin Luther, and everything else derived from the Roman Catholic Church. This fairy tale that you seem to wholeheartedly place your trust and value in and believe in. As I see it, The Real Talk for Real People show says it all by virtue of his name. We don't sugarcoat it. We're not here to make friends. We're here to educate and enlighten people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your history, the rock you're hewn from, and the ground you're dug from, your people. And you have to get into this with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You got to get rid of all of those idols that you're praying to, that you're placing your trust in, and so on and so forth. Your total reliance and hope lies in the God of Abraham, and you must know your history. If you don't know your history, who you are, and what you should be doing, you'll be totally confused about anything, and you'll fall for everything, just like we have. And it's true. Thank you, Katriel. Sisters, do you have any commentaries in regards to what Katriel has shared with us in these studies?
No, I don't have no commentary, but I just want to make sure I got all the songs down. Let me see. You said Psalms 18, right? Psalms 20, Psalms 89, Psalms 105, and 132, right?
Yeah, 105. 132.
Yep.
Okay.
Malachi 3. Yeah, I got that. I just wanted to make sure about the Psalms. Okay.
Thank Psalms you. 2. I don't think you got Psalms 2.
Yeah, I have that one. Yeah.
But the beauty of this show is that you got archives, right? Huh? So you could go back.
They can go back and listen to the show, right? Mm-hmm. Which is
what chapter was that?
This is 2061 show we've presented to the nation.
You might be able to share it.
Yeah, I think they can share it, Katriel. I strongly encourage them and motivate them to share this information. Because when you talk wrong, you do wrong. Especially in regards to the Nicene Council, by way of the Roman Catholic Church, by way of the religions that derived from it. And the first one was by Martin Luther, who nailed the thing up against their door, was the Lutherans, and so on and so forth. No history. Not only know your history, know the history of your oppressors too. And you'll say to yourself, wow, wow. Praise God.
So it's really open for research. Prove me wrong. I did a little research. Maybe you could find something that proved me otherwise. But if you heard the facts tonight, you can never call Jesus a Christ again, or a Messiah, or a Mashiach, because he wasn't.
Well, Katriel, you can make up anything when you make up lies, and they're good at that. If you know your oppressors, you know they're liars, they're good at lying, and they're darn good at it, too. And if you don't think so, that's why you're still held in a state of delusion. That's why you think you can get something from their government. Joe Manchin of the Republican, another Roman. Okay.
They give you that forked tongue because they took one word, anointed. Christ, Messiah, Mashiach, and twisted it, having people believe it means something that it doesn't necessarily mean. You made the word anointed, and you took it and made it into a whole religion. How big is the Catholic Church and the Catholic religion?
Huge.
They're Christians.
Huge.
So Christian, Christ, all that comes from the word anointed. You say you're Christian, but you're not anointed, and you never will be. So you can't even be a Christian.
I know John the Baptist wasn't anointed. How can he anoint anyone when he wasn't a high priest? He was supposed to be the cousin of so-called Jesus. He wasn't a high priest. He wasn't a king. But he
baptized. They try to say he's Elijah the prophet.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
well, when you can plagiarize and you can You can tell lies, boy. You can tell good ones. And in the case when you plagiarize, and that's why I said what I said in regards to universal white race supremacy. It started coming about during the Romans, and it ain't left. It ain't left. And they're the fourth kingdom, if you don't get it. Mud and iron. They got all kind of mixtures of nations with their program. All kind of nations in on the switch and bait. And you're falling for it because you don't know who you are. You don't study who you are. You don't study who the Most High is. And you don't take him at his word. You want some hocus pocus nonsense. You know, I can tell you a duck fell out of the sky and that's baby Jesus. You don't believe it. Because you believe anything your oppressor tells you. Why not believe that? You believe the hocus pocus what he says, 402 years in county, and still begging them for everything. Instead of asking the Most High for everything. Instead of loving one another as you should be doing. Instead of doing for you can with one another as you should. That's why we are a hot mess. You know why we're a hot mess? Not because by force, but by choice. Because we refuse and choose to keep doing what we're doing and expecting different results. We don't want to change up nothing. And that's an astonishment. And Most High said it, we are that astonishment. We don't want change. We want the Most High to change. Because our oppressor said, here's the change you're looking for. And that's what we got mostly in our pockets, a whole lot of change. But no real change. The only change, true change you can get is from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And the only true love you're going to get is from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and from yourselves, and learn how to love yourselves. You don't even know how to love yourselves and or each other. Just not like King David said, this anointed man, I love the Most High with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Ain't no room for nothing else. No idols or nothing. And I love my brothers and sisters, which are my neighbors, as myself. Because I'm King Dog. I love what I look like in the mirror. So I can love what virtually look like me, my brothers and sisters. I can cry out to the Most High to forgive us. I can cry out to the Most High to give our ancient fathers and mothers. I can cry out to the Most High, King Dog was speaking, to forgive my sons for winning against you. I could cry to the Most High to forgive our high priest that went against you. I could cry to the Most High to gather us together. I can humble myself and do that. And I can do what I can, when I can, however I can, for what remotely looks like me, because I understand. It's simply not about King Darwin. It's about this whole nation. Every woman, man and child. Ain't nobody special unless we all say, I'm King Dog. I get it. And we need to get that understanding. Somebody need to turn the radio down, please. Please.
Sorry about that. I had to go check on the grandkids.
Okay, my bad. You good. But I'm trying to get you to understand how our King Dog on the scene. We so messed up in the head, some of us are awakened. And we're attacking each other like we're crazy. King David would even attack King Saul. And we go on Fool's Book and say all kind of dirty, ugly, stinky, skanky things that we want to say. And we think that pleases the Most High. We want to show up, show out, and showboat. We want to say, I got a little sense. Now I'm going to beat people over the head with it. I'm going to make them feel less than. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. Not according to King David's actions in regards to King Saul. In regards to this nation, it's humility, understanding who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing. But we go on Fool's Book, we hear all this madness, trying to get a little education because ain't nobody gave us nothing. And then when we get it, we get all whacked in the head. I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Oh, no, I'm better than you. I'm going to talk ugly to you. Oh, y'all going to be pleased. Y'all need to get y'all minds right. You need to learn humility. You need to learn how to cry for one another. You need to learn how to cry when our brothers and sisters are killing one another, when they're prostituting our sisters, when the sisters are mistreating their brothers and mistreating the children. Ain't nobody special unless we're all special. King David showed that. He expressed that in the Psalms. But when you wake up and you start leading to, you go to sleep dead, and you wake up dead, you're going to continue to be dead, and you're going to continue doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Talking about you love Yah, but you're doing the same thing. It ain't simply talking about you love Yah. It's talking about making some changes and actions in your life. Your actions. We wrote about it that in Ezekiel yesterday. Actions are reflective and indicative of the change. Not listen to your Roman Catholic derivative religions, idolatry. But it's about accepting the Most High in His Word and applying yourself in a study. And those studies are reflected in your actions. Not simply lip service. I love Yah. What that mean? Whether your actions are everything dirty and ugly and perverse. Homosexuality, lesbianism, murder, anger. Just any kind of wickedness you can think of. But the things that Yah asked you to do, you can't do that. Because your eyes are darkened and your ears are closed. Unless you humble yourself. And what we strongly advise on the Real Talk for Real People show, I'm going to stop talking. Here's what we advise you to do. Ask the Most High for a new heart and a new spirit so you can see the truth, so you can act on the truth, so you can reflect that truth, just like King Dollar. And not simply one that shows up to show out and showboat and ego run amok and have nothing to offer to yourself and all your people. Ask for that heart. Believe you me, your eyes will open, your ears will unplug, and you'll see the truth for what it is. And stop worshiping these religions, these idols, and so on and so forth. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Cartrell, Sister Yahudi.
Yeah.
Sister Abby, are you have any commentaries or praise for the Most High? You know, it's family night. That's why I brought that on. Our family.
All I'm
going to
say is, all praise and glory to Yah, and I'm so grateful. And I'm really thankful for tonight's show to clear up things, and I surely will be going all over this again and again and again until it's sinking real good. But I praise Yah for y'all, and I'm grateful, just grateful. May Yah keep blessing.
Thank you. You're a blessing too. And I want you to know, Sister Abby, by virtue, Yah came to us by virtue of Sister Abby. And that's why this was presented. And I want you to give a thanks to Sister Abby through the Most High. She was an influence and impacted to bring that to our attention. I promised her that I would. And I will continue to do so.
You mean Sister Hootie?
Sister Hootie, I'm sorry. Don't start, Sister Hootie. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess that's okay.
Hey,
I thought it was him and her girl.
Well, okay, I'll share.
No, it was Sushi Hootie. Sushi Hootie brought it to my attention several weeks ago.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise Yah.
Yes.
Praise Yah.
Well, a lot is missing out of this little booklet because it's only a little booklet. And it doesn't really tell the whole story about this anointing process because the first anointed was Aaron and his sons, and they were anointed by Moses. They didn't anoint themselves. And the fact that Aaron lost two of his sons in the process shows how serious the process is. These brothers today, they take the title Kohen, but back then, Aaron and his sons had to shave all the hair off their body. They had to be placed away, quarantined for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they had to go through this process. When Aaron lost to his sons, the process had to continue. The Most High told him not to mourn for his sons. They had to drag his two sons out of the holy place where they were at and continue the process. So we play with this thing, but it's nothing to be played with. And you hear me all the time, King David's my hero. I follow the Psalms and try to model my spirit after King David. But I ain't putting that oil on my head. I ain't making it up and putting that oil on my head to get Most High Spirit mildly upon me. But there's people out there that see that formula and they're marketing it. Shame on them.
Right.
Well, they're going to have a spot, but they're going to be with the people. They're going to be cut off from the people.
I'm sorry. I meant to ask Brother Costa, if you do get it printed out, please inform me so I can have you.
Yes. I'm trying to get my printer to work so I can print it from my computer.
And Katria, do me a favor, when you get it up and running, send me that also so I can have copies made and share with other people.
Well, y'all got my phone number. Y'all can text me an email and I can mail it to y'all.
Okay. Well, you know, you know my email, Katria, I think, don't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know your phone number.
Yeah, look, I'm going on the phone right now to your name, and I'm going to send it right on. Okay, this is something serious. Okay.
Praise
Yah. Praise
Yah. Praise
Yah. Yeah. And Sister Yehudi.
Mhm.
Y'all got any praises or commentary on what Cartrell shared with us today?
What about you, Sister Hootie?
I'm just glad that he shared it, and maybe in the future you can go back to it.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Sister.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Praise Yah. Cartrell, okay. I'm sorry, Sister Hootie.
No, I just said, That's what it is.
Okay, Cartrell, do you have any additional commentaries or any praise and thanksgiving to the Most High?
I pray that my people take it to heart, because it's the one thing that upsets the Most High when we have these idols in our heart.
Yeah.
And our people are so traumatized that we have a belief system. We believe we have more faith in our belief than we trust in the facts. So I hope these facts, you know, people take to heart and examine it for yourself, because there's so many misnomers. And this little booklet really blows the whole Christian concept, Catholic Church, out the water.
Mm-hmm.
They are ascribing titles to things that don't belong. So we give thanks to Yah, they open up our eyes to see, because so many people are caught in this net. And they refuse to see, like our ancient fathers who had the idols in their heart. They want to hear what Yah got to say, but they still got the idols in their heart. So hopefully this will take the idols out of their hearts when they examine it for themselves. Just do the research.
Unfortunately, Cartrell, some of us don't share that. We like to sit and we like to be tickle me Elmo'd. We want to sit there with our Bibles and let whoever talk to you, but they don't want to put in no work. They don't want to put in no study, and not only put in the study, Cartrell, sadly to say, even if they get it, they don't want to get it because they hate the Most High. They hate his word. They want to keep doing what they're doing, inspecting different judges, 402 years in county. They want to keep believing in the judicial system of their enemies. They want to keep on believing in so-called black lives of color matters, African-American continents matter, because they don't know who they are. They call themselves blacks, which should make you cringe, and African-America, two continents. And one of them is a false continent. There's no such thing as Africa. That's the oppressor name. That's not the name of that country, Africa. Like, because there's a land, that's a continent, and there's different nations in that continent. And even if you were from that nation, do you know what nation you're from in that continent? They talk about us in Kenya. They talk about the Hebrews in Kenya. Still do talk. They said they were big bone, and we're big bone. Warriors. So if you want to do your study, do your study. Stop sitting up letting these pastors rake it in your dollars, rake in your mind, and you just believe everything they said. And you got some Hebrew brothers and sisters that said they woke up. But how you woke up doing the same thing over and over again, you just flipped the script. You didn't make them Hebrew Israelites. But you're doing the same thing. That justifies you doing, because you done made them Hebrew Israelites. You done made them us. You done made Mary, Paul, Luke, John, and Hasanever. You done made them us. But there is no reference in our history about those people. That's a creation, a fabrication, a figment of the imagination of those who conspire against us and still conspire against us to not know who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, and certainly not worshiping your God. And you find yourself in the same boat we find ourselves in when we first got here, living in food paradise and thinking help gonna come by virtue of a political organization, the gay rights movement, because that's all Obama gave you. He didn't do nothing for you but gave you gay. Now folks just walk in the restroom. A girl can just walk in the and stand next to your stall. They gave you a lot, didn't they? A fella can just easy on, mosey on, put on his mama's skirt and stockings and some makeup on and a wig on and come in the women's restroom and say, they said I can come. And you ain't got answers for nothing. But you do got an answer. You just don't utilize it. You know what your answer is? We gonna cry out next year for that answer. You know what your answer is? Follow the codification. Stop trying to do things on your own that you ain't got no authority to be doing. The Most High says, pray for your ancestors and their iniquities. Pray for yourself and your continual iniquities and abomination. Cry out to me. What part of that y'all don't understand? Cry out to me. I got you. And while you're doing that, you take care of one another, how you can, when you can, howsoever you can. But we want to be special. We want to wake up. I'm Samson. I'm Solomon, King Solomon. I'm King. You ain't nothing. And you need to know your place and get in your place and humble yourself and get in this program with the Most High. Stop waking up trying to be something special when the indication and the evidence suggests that we wasn't nothing special. And the Most High says in our regard, and y'all far worse. He said your fathers and mothers wasn't nothing. They were good for nothing. They were flat-footed, duck-walking, talking and doing everything they can in the land. They were worshiping idols on every corner. Just like we got churches on every corner, idolatry in this Western Hemisphere. And they were seeking their own solutions. So humble yourself to the Most High. You ain't got to like Yamsu. It don't matter to me because it don't mean nothing. I ain't your leader. But you gotta humble yourself before the Most High. You gotta follow the Most High. Therein is the codification. Therein is your solution. You won't get it from the Republican Party. You won't get it from the Democratic Party. You won't get it from the Independent Party. You won't get it from the Green Party. You won't get it from the gay rights movement. You won't get it from Black Lives Matter. And your hands up, they're going to still be shooting you down if you don't humble yourself before the Most High and get yourself right. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name. And I want to thank the Most High for Cottrell, for her brother who loves the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, that investigates, that studies, that burns the midnight oil. He doesn't care what Yamsu says. He doesn't care what Abiyah says. He doesn't care what Sister Huni says. Contrary as all of us should only care what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub says, and that should be our key, our code, and the only key and code. I want to thank the Most High for this brother. I want to thank the Most High for Sister Abiyah, who is, when she first heard about the Most High, she hooked on to him and she ain't let go. I want to thank the Most High for Sister Yehudi, who's been studying the Most High, who's helped facilitate bring Cartier on and many more on and bringing us together with Cartier and many more who love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength and their brothers and sisters as themselves because they love themselves. Mm-hmm. Before the Most High. I want to thank the Most High that we have the opportunity to get it right. We have an opportunity to ask him for a heart and mind like our spiritual king, a king that is dedicated to him, King Dawood, not King Saul. A mind and heart like that. Because a lot of us got a mind and heart like King Saul. Wicked. I want to thank the Most High for an opportunity to have our souls restored for his name's sake. An opportunity, whatever help may be plaguing us because we don't have our priests, whom are our doctors to go to the Most High to find our problem. Not these old ragtag witchery doctors they got here, give you all kind of medication, cause you all kind of problems before you get rid of the problem. We have the opportunity to go to Most High in prayer for our help. We have the opportunity to humble ourselves and cry. See, a lot of us are too stubborn to cry. Ain't nobody going to make me cry. You need to cry for something. You need to cry for your soul. You need to cry for the souls of your family. You need to cry for the souls of your nation. You need to humble yourself for the Most High and cry to him. You've been crying to the white folks all your life. Oh, hands up, don't shoot. Oh, please give me some bread. Please let me move in the house next to you. Please give me some bacon. Please give me some bacon. Let me bake with you. But you don't want to cry to the Most High because you're something special. But you've been crying to universal white race spirit 402 years of counting. But you're too proud to cry to the Most High. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And thank the Most High for the opportunity on this show. The show. We don't just talk about it. We be about it. Even though sometimes it may sound harsh what we're saying, but we let you know in no undying words that we love you. It's just like you're like a child to us because we are a child before the Most High too. You're like a child to us in this respect. When you see your child running across the street, you know what I'm saying? Coochie, coochie, boy, boy, come here, baby, come here, come to mom. You say, get your butt out, come here. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to say, come here. But when you get here, we're going to hug you, go hug on you, kiss you, and smother you with kisses and love. Because we know you're important. We know the Most High love you. You need to understand that the Most, and you need to cry out to him. You need to humble yourself and stop humbling yourself to universal white race supremacy like Joe Manchin. You're not going to get no solution with this. Praise and bless the Most High for everything we are and hope to be. Bless his holy name. Cartrell, Sister Hootie, and Sister Abia, do you have any praise and thanksgiving to the Most High?
Yes. Every day, all day, praise Yah. Give thanks for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. For him allowing our history to be preserved so we can study it. And it's amazing to me. The first priest was Aaron and his sons. And it's funny how Christianity twisted that because their priests are celibate. Their priests don't have sons. But it shows how balanced the Most High was in that the priests had sons. And these priests, why? They were holy women because anything they touched became holy. So, I just give thanks to Yah for truth, for guiding us in the right way, for bringing us all together in these days and time as a nation, as a people, we're starting to wake up and mayhaps the Most High will circumcise our heart to love and understand him and to love and understand each other better. Because if we're a treasure to him, we should be a treasure to each other and we should treat each other that way. I just pray that Yah intervenes in our lives so that he continues to open us up.
Yeah,
the opportunity of the Real Talk Real People Show. For real.
Yeah. Praise God. If God didn't say it, I would say it. We it hurts us to see you being hurt, being mistreated, being misused, being dominated, and sometimes killed in the streets. It hurts us when you're killed. It hurts us when you hurt one another. And so it should. And that's why we do what we do for us, Real Talk for Real, because we know the answer for you. We want you to understand that answer. It's codified. It's the Most High word. It's his voice. And you have to listen to it. And that's the only way you're going to get any solutions. 4 to 2 years of campaign and no solutions, no voting rights, no banking, no good education, no good health care. Who you gonna learn? Still killed in the streets by rogue police officers in uniform, universal white race supremacists? Still killed and mistreated by each other because you don't understand the Most High? You don't understand the value of each other? How we should value each other? Prostituting each other? Selling drugs to each other? Killing one another? You don't understand it. And it hurts us. And that's why we do what we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. We know the answer. We want you to find the answer. Praise Yah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sister Yehudi. Any praises?
I'd like to say it was a very interesting conversation, and I thank the Most High for the opportunity to hear it, and I'm going to digest it, and I thank the Most High that I'm alive. Hallelujah, and good night.
And stop, please stop moving in the wrong direction. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Get you a new heart like King Darwin. Anything else, get it from the Most High. You don't get it from nobody else. 1-2 years old, I'll tell you that. And also, burn the midnight oil. Don't trust in what we say. You study right along with us, behind us, in front of us. Maybe you'll be able to share something with us. And also, again, we love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Brothers and sisters, y'all want to say shalom and good night to the people.
Shalom and good night, and stay prayed up and stay safe. May Yah bless you all.
Praise Yah. May He bless you too, sis.
Have a blessed weekend, family. Don't go out there wild and people losing their minds. Stay prayed up, like Sister Abiyah said. And be in touch on Monday. Yah will.
Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Sister Yehudi?
Oh, I said. Yes, hallelujah, what they said. Thank you.
Praise God. Move in the right direction. Praise the Most High and let Him direct and order your steps. We love you. Shalom and good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. A strong, strong, steady roll.
things better. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. Well, you're moving away, so far away, so far away from me, oh. Well, you're moving, well, you're moving, well, you're moving, well, you're moving, well, you're moving.